what night was that? Wednesday night, we had a prayer meeting here. By the way, that was super encouraging to have. I think we had like 25 people out just to pray and seek the Lord Wednesday night. And I encourage you, the next time we do it, if you can come, come. It was an awesome night. And so one of the things we did, and I want to challenge you to do this morning, is I want you to look around the room right now. And I want you to ask the Lord for just the courage to go and encourage someone later today before you leave. Or if they get out before you get a chance to say hi, then phone them later. But I just want you to look around the room and just say, God, is there someone here today that you want me to encourage, that you want me, that just, what are you, you know, is there something on your heart? What are your thoughts towards them? And I know that might be scary, but that's your homework. I want you to actually try. And look around and just say, God, what's on your heart towards some of these people? And hear what he has to say. Amen? All right. Challenge accepted. Well, this morning I would want to conclude kind of the overarching church series that we've been doing, just talking about the church. The last few weeks we've talked about evangelism, and we're going to kind of wrap that up today. And so, I want to just take a few minutes this morning talking about our story and how we actually use it to bring glory to God and lead others to Christ. And so we've talked about the call that we have, the Great Commission, that we are called to actually go and make disciples. We've talked about how every single one of us is commanded to go, to preach the good news, to let people know the good news that we've found. And so Jesus said that he would make us fishers of men if we follow him. Amen? And so that's one of the things we're called to do, is to actually reach out to people. And so we grow by sharing our faith. And it's actually an act of obedience to go and to share the good news with others. And so Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38 challenges us. Jesus said, pray for harvesters, because the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so we're called to pray for the harvesters and be a harvester. Be someone who is willing to reach out, because people are longing to know the good news of Jesus. But someone has to tell them, and that someone is you and I. Amen? Matthew 4:19, I just mentioned this, but following Jesus involves fishing for people. And he says he'll make us fishers of men. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we have the privilege of being Christ's ambassadors, to plead with others to come back to God. Again, I'm just reviewing some of what we talked about the last week or two. 1 Peter 3:15, we should always have an answer prepared for our faith. Why do you believe? And we need to wrestle with those things of being able to actually articulate, this is why I believe. This is what God has done in my life. This is why I believe that we should follow him. Amen? And then we talked briefly about Luke 14 and the story of this banquet where people are invited, and everybody had excuses. Well, I got to take care of this and I got to do that. And many people in our culture today have excuses. I'm busy. I'll get around to following God later. You know, I got other things to do. But then he said, go out into the highways and byways and find anybody that's willing. Not just the people you'd think you'd want there, but invite everybody. The lame, the poor, the hurting, everybody is invited to come and fill it up. And the idea is God is saying everyone is welcome. And that's our call, that's our reminder that every single person is valuable to the Lord and every single person is invited to come to know him. Amen? And then last week we talked about out of John 4, I didn't put that one up there, but the woman at the well and how she was a witness, right? She was a witness to who Jesus was. She went and said to everyone in the community, come and see the man who told me everything that I've ever done. And so she brought people out because she witnessed who Jesus was. And again, we are called to be a witness, to actually declare, to tell people what we have seen God do and what we've heard him do in our life. Amen? So this morning, Revelation 12:11 says they have defeated him, that's the enemy, okay, that's the Satan. They've defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. And I just want to encourage you that, and we've mentioned this a few times, but your story is powerful. All right, your testimony of what God has done in your life is powerful, it's beautiful, it's history, it's his story in you. Amen? It's what he has done in you. And so, you know, I mentioned in the past that, you know, you can argue about theology, you can argue about doctrine, but you can't argue about your story. All right, it's what's happened to you. And so it's so important to learn to use the different things that you've walked out in your life, the journey you've had with God, So when he's spoken to you, when he's helped you in times of fear or worry or brought healing or whatever it might be, those are so important to remember. And I encourage you, when you see answers to prayer, write them down. Because you think, I'll remember that one forever. And a week later, it's gone, you know? And many times, you know, as I've looked back, even sometimes as I'm looking at old message notes, I'm like, I forgot about that, you know, because I wrote down the testimony and I forgot about that. And, and we need to remember because it stirs our faith and it reminds us of what God has done. And those stories, listen, it's not just for us to feel all fuzzy and warm inside. It's to bring glory to God. So when God answers a prayer, it's not all about you. It's about him and his faithfulness. And we actually do him a disservice when we just hoard it to ourselves. That's cool, God, thanks. That's not how it should be. It should be, hey, you guys should see what Jesus did for me. He healed me. He protected me. He provided for me. He set me free. And so I was actually talking to my dad yesterday, and I've been thinking about this, like, how do we actually share our testimony? Like, what are some of the important things that need to happen when we do that? And one of the things we're talking is we need to build a bridge, is the way my dad worded it. We need to build a bridge, and I think it's so true. My dad has led probably more people to the Lord than anyone I know, and he's phenomenal at turning any conversation you're having to Jesus. But he is good at this, and he talked about building a bridge. The Apostle Paul did this. You watch when he witnessed to people, he shared his testimony. You know, when you're talking to someone and you look at their life, you're listening to them and what they're going through, and you hear them say things like, you know, I have so much fear, or I have unforgiveness or offense because someone was a jerk to me or whatever. We've all been there, right? Someone saying, I have this physical ailment. And it's those things that you can build a bridge and say, well, hey, you know, I was full of fear in this situation in my life because my kid had this happening or whatever in my life. And then I prayed and God broke through and brought peace and strength. You know, you share those kind of moments. I was physically sick or something was broken. We prayed and it was healed. And that's how you build a bridge to help them say, hey, you should open your eyes to the truth of who Jesus is because you're in this situation. I've been there too. And this is what God did for me. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. And so we build that bridge to them to help connect with where they're at. And so, you know, as an example too, recently, I think I shared the story of the guy on Facebook that I just happened to see his post. And in my spirit, the Holy Spirit was like, you need to reach out to him right now. And I knew something was wrong. And ended up, over the course of that week, talking back and forth, one of the things he said as he shared his story was, I believe in Mother Nature, and nature tells us so much. And I went, oh, well, let me tell you my story. And I shared with him how, you know, when I'm out hunting or hiking in the hills, I love how nature seems to glorify God. God made everything to bring glory to him, and it's so creative and unique and amazing. And I was like, there's no way that that's the fluke, is it? And he's like, no, it doesn't seem like it. And so that's how I built a bridge to him, you know? And that's, again, just being able to recognize and remember, what has God done in me? And why is it that I believe? And again, you will find that in other people, they're going through the same struggles. You know, you look at other people sometimes, you think, well, they got it all together. You know, they would never have fear. They would never have this. They would never have, you know what? Every single person has many of the same challenges in different seasons of our life that we work through. I don't care who we are. And so the fact that you have had breakthrough in some of those areas allows you to bring and minister to those other people because you've experienced the measure of breakthrough. You can help them through it. You can tell people, like, I never used to believe in a God. I thought that was ridiculous. And then you can share, well, what happened? Why did you change? Why do you believe now? What have you witnessed? And so, again, firstly, we build a bridge. Secondly, I think we need to be bold and purposeful in actually telling people about the gospel. We're not called to be self-help coaches. We're not called to be guides. We're called to make disciples. And it's good to be nice, and it's good to be kind, and it's good to do great things, but at some point, people need to hear the good news of the gospel. And so, yes, many good works and many nice things that we do can help people, builds connection, it opens doors, but we need to pray about, Lord, when's the right time, when's the right moment to open my mouth and declare the gospel? It doesn't have to come in loud preaching, shaking your fist at someone, but to be able to actually articulate the good news of this is why I believe. Remember, we read these scriptures, but Romans 10:17, how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing the good news. Hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. So when people hear about that, it actually builds faith in them. Someone needs to share. Someone needs to do that. In Acts 4:20, Peter and John, they said, we cannot stop telling about what we have seen and heard. We took the youth up to Medicine Hat Friday, and as you know, Danielle came with me, and we were laughing because we can hear the conversation in the back, you know. And teenagers, they're talking, well, I like so-and-so, and they, don't tell anybody, you know. But, and it's like this same old thing that never changes, right, from when all of us were that age. You know, we want the person to find out that we like them, but we really don't want anyone else to know. But yet we do, and we get really upset when someone tells, and even though we just blurted it out to a van full of people, you know, and that's, when you love something, it's pretty hard to keep a lid on it. When you love someone, it's really hard to keep a lid on it, you know? And so, don't hold back. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus has done in you. Amen? Last week when I asked you to write down your testimony, your story, and to think, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I said, write down little moments that God has done something. There's a reason for that. It helps you explain why you believe what you believe. It helps you articulate the gospel. Jesus broke into my life and he did this. Jesus did this in my life, and now I'm set free. We need to have an answer for our faith. And honestly, it's important to be able to share it in 3 or 4 minutes. I love hearing people's life story when they come on a Sunday and they can share for 20 or 30 minutes. That's wonderful. But most of the time in conversation, you've got 2 to 4 minutes. So can you explain why you believe, what God has done? You don't need to tell your whole life story. Take that one thing that builds a bridge to where they're at and say, this is what Jesus has done, and this is why I believe in him. Amen? One thing that really helps is to have a timeline in your life. Again, this is just practical stuff to think about, but what were you like before Jesus? How did you come to know him? And why are you different now? What has he done in you? You see the Apostle Paul talk about that. He talks about how I was the greatest Pharisee, and I kept the law, and I was beating up Christians and arresting them. And then he talks about, I had this moment where the light came, right? He had an encounter with Jesus. And then he talks about how everything changed since. And Paul does that several times in the book of Acts. You can see him as he stands before people and explains. I think it's a great example for us. What were you like before? How did you encounter him? And what are you like now? And for some of you, you say, well, I've been a Christian since I was knee-high, and that's okay. At this point, there is a reason at some point in your life where it became very real to you, your faith became real, and you can explain the how. You might not have a big before. That's okay. But why is it real to you now? Why is it important? Why are you passionate about God? And again, the gospel is quite simple. So just practice being able to articulate it to people. You know, you and I are all sinners. We were born in sin, right? And because of that, we are separated from God. And you can use, if you look up, Google the Romans Road to Salvation or something, like there's things like that, and it gives you a whole list of scriptures you can use. But there's several scriptures in Romans, like Romans 3:23, where everyone has sinned, we all fall short. You can use scripture like that, or you can just tell them, we all fall short of the standard. None of us are able to be good enough to live up to the standard God has for us. That means we need a Savior. We need Jesus. Jesus came so that we could have life and be free from our sin. There was no way of being good enough, of earning it or deserving it without Jesus. It's impossible to get there without Jesus, and that needs to be explained. It's not by my good works. It's not by my good looks. It's not by my kindness. It is by Jesus. And so that has to be clear. It has to be clear that, you know, because some people feel it. Well, if I'm good, and by the way, there's many ways to heaven, right? There's that is very common now today. No, it's through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we have to be able to articulate it clearly and understand that once we accept Jesus into our life and follow him, then we are now sons and daughters of the King. We are adopted into his family. We have an inheritance. We are children of God. We are the righteousness of God. Our DNA changes. Who we are changes. Amen? And so you can do that very quickly, though, and very clearly. And so have a timeline. Again, have a timeline for your life when you think about it. What was I like before? How did I come to know him? What has happened since? And then I just want to remind you that we are to be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, that we just need to be honest. We are not needing to be salespeople where it's like, you got to sign the dotted line. I got to twist your arm. You got to manipulate it into doing this. And then, hey, by the way, once you pray this prayer, it's all going to be rainbows and unicorns. No, we're not. That's not who we are, right? And I've seen that, and it's unhealthy. Okay? You will still go through challenges. The Bible tells us there will still be trials. There will still be hardship. The good news is, though, is that when Jesus is with you, he will never leave you. And his peace is an inheritance for his children. So even when we're in the midst of a storm, we can have peace. And his joy is our strength. And so even though we face hard things, if we really know him, there's a joy that carries us through. We're not alone. And so there is a difference from not knowing him to knowing him. It doesn't mean that everything will go smooth. I love it when God breaks through and just fixes it all. It happens sometimes. But there are also times where we're in a season in the desert where, and he allows some of these things to happen, I believe, where we go through seasons of difficulty and challenge, and because he wants us to get on our knees and call out to him and trust in him. And there's a maturity thing that happens when we learn to walk through every season and still trust in him and still turn our face towards him. Amen? I think just popped in my head. It's Bill Johnson, I think, shared when his wife passed away, and I'll probably butcher the line, but it just so stood out to me. He said, you know, on this earth, I'm able to relate to God through grief and through the loss of a loved one. I'll never be able to do that in heaven. And I thought, you know, there's things that we go through, and again, it's part of the process of drawing close to him, and we can't explain all those things. We don't, you know, but God uses that what the enemy tries to bring against us. He uses hardship. They're actually, we shouldn't expect there to never be suffering. Amen? Nobody wants it, but he uses that process that we go through to draw close to him. I hope that makes sense. Many of us feel pressure, I think, sometimes. You know, if I lead someone to the Lord, it's like this. When we go fishing and we catch a fish, catching the fish is fun, but cleaning the fish is no fun. Nobody likes cleaning the fish, right? The good news is this, the Holy Spirit cleans people. I'm not responsible for that other person. If I lead them to the Lord, my job is to lead them to that place where this is Jesus and you should accept him. But I am not responsible for their heart. The Lord changes them, not me. Amen? And so all you have to do is lead people to the truth. You are literally leading them, presenting them with the truth. You're not bending them over a barrel. You're not anything like that. You're just being kind and being gentle and loving them with where they're at. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. It's the Holy Spirit who changes the heart. And it's Jesus who transforms us from the inside out. Try and avoid, have you ever heard this word, Christianese? Things like a hedge of protection and, washed in the blood, anointed. A lot of words that people go, what are you talking about? Okay, if you don't know anything about the Bible, if you've never been in church, a lot of that stuff, they're like, huh? So you have to explain it in ways that they understand. And remember Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. You know, the Bible tells us that we are saved by confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. People don't have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops to become a believer. Again, it starts by that simple confession, that simple dying to self. And then it's a journey. And being a Christian, and I think we need to remind people this, is choosing to surrender to follow Jesus every single day. It's not about getting fire insurance. It's not about praying a prayer once, but it's about relationship. An ongoing, lifelong relationship. And Jesus tells us to count the cost. Because to follow him does mean that I have to put him first. I can't live for myself and what I feel like today. And we sometimes miss that part. Following Jesus is a call to do the right thing, even though it can be the hard thing. It's a call to love others when it's really not easy to. It's a call to forgive when someone has totally offended you and you, in the natural sense, have every right to be angry and bitter. Following Jesus is a call to serve other people, to love them, to care for them. Following Jesus is a call to pursue Christ in the way that we live, which means to choose holy, pure living. It means I can't be okay with sin lurking over in this corner and that corner. It's not about putting on a nice pair of clothes and going to church, smiling and being like, I'm good. How are you? I'm good. That's not what it's about. Jesus wants your whole heart and your whole life. Everything. I can't be okay with porn over here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and lying to my spouse or doing this or that, and having offense and unforgiveness in here, and just kind of ignoring that part of the week. And then on Sunday, I'm a spiritual person. No, that's not how it works. If I'm going to follow Jesus, he gets my whole life, my whole heart. Or I'll never actually walk with him and know him as a friend. Luke 14, there's a few scriptures he talks about this. Luke 14, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. That's strong words. We read that really fast usually, like, blah, 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 on to the next, you know. If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Don't begin until you count the cost. Would you build a building? Would you begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Like, he's saying, hey, you got to understand this is going to cost you something. Following Jesus will cost you something. It costs you everything. And yet it's the most beautiful, wonderful thing there is. So we are called to reach out. We are called to evangelize. We are called to let people know the gospel. How does that play out practically as a church? And I want to give you a few thoughts this morning. One of the keys as a church, you know, remember the church is not a building, right? It's us, the body. But we gather here. We gather here together. And one of the greatest things that I see, especially in our culture, is to reach people, to connect with people as a church body, is hospitality. And I think especially post-COVID, it takes like some effort here to get our behinds in gear and be like, I need to open my home. I need to be welcoming to people. I need to, and so it's really important. I think it was a month ago, I talked about the importance of fellowship as part of a church, right? And the idea of fellowship, that we live in unity and that we actually love others well. And part of that is, hospitality builds connection. So eating with people. We've joked a little bit, I think, once or twice in here when you studied Jesus. They were always going to eat. They were going, sitting with people. Food was a major part of what they did. It's a major part of what we do, isn't it? How much time do you spend prepping food in a week, you know, and then enjoying to eat it, right? I don't prep it much. I get to eat it, which is awesome. But just here's some simple thoughts on how this works. Okay, as a church body, when someone walks in here, say on a Sunday morning, brand new, they probably are coming with fear and a little bit nervous because they don't know where to go. They don't know what's expected. They don't know where a bathroom is. They don't know where their kids should be. And you know what they need is you, all of us, to be the person that puts on a smile and shakes their hand and says, can I help you find where you need to go? Any questions? Welcome here. We're so glad you're here. And hey, you know, and then it's like this. Jeff, if I can use an example. So, hey, Jeff, I don't know your name yet, but, you know, hey, I'm Paul, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey, and someone's standing beside, this is Connie. You should get to know them. They're awesome. And, hey, this is, you know, and just, yeah, go down the line. But what you need to do is welcome people into the part of the family. And so help people to understand they belong. And, hey, if you have kids, you know, kids' church is downstairs. Let me go introduce you to the teacher. Show them where to go. This is what happens. If you have questions, come in here. And it'll take all the stress of someone new walking in the door. Have you ever been invited to like a party or a function or something, and you show up and there's all these people, and there's like, where am I supposed to sit and what am I supposed to do? And it's awkward. Don't make church like that. It should be a place where you walk in and feel comfortable because you're welcomed here. I hope you believe that everyone is welcomed here. So greet people. Introduce yourself. Don't be like, well, you know, Jeff, he's often at the front door there, so that's his job. No. That's all of us. It's all our job to make someone feel comfortable when they come in. Invite people to your home. Invite them for coffee. Go for a walk. Connect with people. If someone showed up here, it's because they want to belong. So make an effort. Don't wait for someone else to do it. I'll say that again. Don't wait for someone else to do that. It's your job. It's my job. It's all of us to welcome people and make them part of this family. I talk to people sometimes, and it's funny because so-and-so will look out or will invite them. Or, you know, I thought someone else would invite them out. It's like, no, that's how everybody thinks. Then no one invites someone. I remember years ago, I can't remember whose testimony it was, but somebody here said they came. They actually intended to only come once, and they thought they would probably not come back. They didn't think they'd be comfortable. But they got something like 6 or 7 invitations for lunch on the first Sunday, and they stuck it out because they built connection. And, you know, there's something so important about opening your home, being vulnerable. Even if it's going for coffee, just open your heart. Open your life up to other people. And food is a great thing to gather around to do it, you know? And so we have to get back to some of the basics, the simple things like that help build family. That's what makes, you know, if someone is walking in the door here, you don't have to have the stress of trying to, it's different than walking up to someone on the street and be like, hey, I want to share my faith with you. They're coming here, they expect to hear about Jesus. They just want to be loved and connected. All you got to do is open your mouth. Hi, welcome. And just share life with them. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, good. A few of you still need to believe that. We need to reach out. Our job is to make it easy for someone to become a part of the family and make it hard for them not to want to be here, not to want to be connected. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible talks about how they sold possessions, they looked after, and it says that no one was in lack. No one needed anything. And you know what? If we're going to be a family, it's going to cost. It's going to cost you effort and time. And you know, if you're going to have someone over for a meal, it costs. You got to buy food, and you got to give up your time to prep that food and clean your house, stress about what your kids are doing, all those kind of things. It's worth it, but it costs. Bible tells us it'll cost, but it's worth it. In Acts chapter 2, I forgot to put these up there, I think, sorry, but Acts chapter 2, it says they met weekly. They had fellowship. They cared for one another. They loved one another. Or they met daily, not weekly. They met daily. And again, there's this picture of eating together, doing life together, welcoming one another, fellowship, unity, love. It's important. It's what makes the church powerful. And so we have to be careful that life, because there's lots of good things in life that are calling for our time and energy, but we have to make sure that we keep our priorities right. If I'm following Jesus, he has to be number one. And it costs. I'm telling you right now, it costs to make Jesus first in your life. He also loves the church. The church is God's idea. And as a body, caring for one another, it's his idea that we love each other, that we are in unity, that we care for one another well. And part of that is hospitality, to do this, to build connection, to build relationship. It's a priority for the Lord. And so I just, you know, I remind you, I encourage you, I challenge you, make it a priority to build connection with one another. Not just a new person, but anybody that's part of this body. Connect with them. If you look around this room, and I'm included, there's people in here I haven't had in my house yet, I need to get on it, okay? And that's a challenge for all of us, because we should be getting to know one another and building that connection. Because the more I know about where your heart's at, the more I know where you're at, the more I'm able actually to love you. Because sometimes all you do is you see the outward here and there odd comment thing happen, and you're like, you think, I just want some distance because I don't agree with them or whatever. But when I get to know your heart, I care about you. And everything changes. You with me? All right. So here's just a thought. In order to do a better job at being a family as a church, I'll just throw this out there. We really need someone to actually help with the food, the kitchen, you know, like looking after it. This, again, this building is not the church. It's a tool that we use, though, to actually help facilitate fellowship, connection, many ministries going on. This, in 1 week, there's everything from kids to adult stuff happening here that people are being ministered to. Yesterday, there was a birthday party. People from the community that have never been here are coming into our building. You know, and I want them to walk into this building and be like, wow, they care. And look, it's well looked after. And there's amazing things here. And there's things for family and kids. And there tomorrow, there's, what's it called, early learning, whatever, from 0 to 5 age kids and families. They're going to walk in this door. And they're going to be downstairs. And they're going to see this is who they are. And so taking care of the building matters. And it's not one or two people. It's all of us. Like, if you see things out of place, if you things that need to take, you know, I think someone at the annual meeting this year was like, we all need to step up. And I think that's worth repeating. We do. We have to take care of this place. And don't wait for someone else to do it. If you see somebody's kid left a mess and they didn't get to it, go help. That's part of being the body, the family. We care for each other. And I'm trying to lead by example too. Yesterday I came and I recognized the bouncy castle was full of dirt still from the back to school party, and I got Emily and we came in there with the shop vac and we vacuumed it out, and there's things like that. Like, it's everybody's job. It's not just somebody else. Right? Just being practical, being real here. We need each other. And the more that we can step in and have a value and understand that this matters to God, how we do church as a body matters to Him. And part of that is just excellence and caring for each other and caring for how we do this. I hope that makes sense. I read this, I think it was Chris Felton, but I can't remember for sure. Somebody said anyway, you remember some of what people tell you, more of what people show you, but you always remember how people make you feel. You remember some of what people tell you, more of what people show you, but you always remember how people make you feel. So when someone comes in the door, it is an opportunity to make them feel welcome and at home and answer any questions and make them know that they're loved, because they are. It's just a part of who we are, right? And so I just encourage you, I challenge you, I remind you. I know for some of you I'm preaching at the choir, but I think we all need this reminder. Like, we are here to love people. And so, you know, we're a small town. We don't see 50 new people walking through the door all the time, but when we do, let's love them really well. Here's a few scriptures and then we'll end. Titus chapter 1. This is talking about leaders, and again, it's just a sign of maturity. You know, rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. Part of a sign of maturity is actually being vulnerable enough to have people with you, to be in your home, to care for them. Hospitality is important, you know. 1 Peter 4, the end of the world is coming soon. That's been coming up a lot lately. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Then it says this, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal and a place to stay. Romans 12:13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some of who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. That'd be pretty cool. And I'll end with this last scripture, Acts 20, verse 35. I've been a constant example of how you can keep those in need by working hard, and you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's something, you know, we often use that phrase for tithing and things like that. We talk about giving money, but, you know, you're giving your time. It does cost you something to have someone in your home and feed them, and you're not doing it for the purpose of getting something back, but there is always a reciprocating thing with the Lord when we give people, when we give to people, when we have them over, when we connect with them. The Lord blesses us too, and it helps us to grow. It helps us, you know, what is joy worth to you? Can you put a price on that? Well, I can tell you that when you lead someone to the Lord, the joy that comes in your heart is amazing. Is it hard? You betcha. Is it scary? Yeah, it can be. But what's joy worth to you? What's peace worth? And so purposing to do some of these things, it opens the door for the Lord to pour blessing on us simply because we obediently are giving to others. Amen? So I'm going to pray. I'm going to open the altar. If anyone would like prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. And then I just want to invite all of you again downstairs for lunch. It's a real simple soup sandwich lunch. And if you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it. We're just keeping it simple, and it'll tie you over till later if need be. We'll stretch it. Don't worry. So I invite you to come. And this is what we've been doing the last few weeks. We've been going downstairs, eating lunch, talking a little bit more about a certain topic. Today, again, is evangelism. It's the last video series from Alpha on evangelism. And we just talk it through, and we're done 1:30-ish, something like that. So, all right.